Lord, we thank you for our dear brother Jeff. We pray that you'll anoint him, Lord, as he brings your word this morning. We pray for a word in season, Lord, that you will speak into our hearts through him, our dear brother, and that you'll bless him as he ministers it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Any thoughts with you?
Yeah.
Well, good morning, everyone. Before I start my message, I've asked Glenn if he would come out and read scripture. And the scripture is John 1, verses 35 to 51.
The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said, and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." He then added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Thank you, Glenn. We are living in the most exciting times because of the soon return of Yeshua. I don't think it's many years away. And I really feel that many of us here will be around when he returns. Every time we wake up and watch the news, so many things around the world are happening. It's mind-boggling. We see America now almost in flames in different cities. And then we see other parts of the world that are under different regimes that are controlling them and holding them down. You know, this world is in a terrible, terrible state. But I thank God that his son will return very soon. And I really enjoyed the praise this morning because I feel that so many churches are missing out. Because I felt Holy Spirit really in the praise this morning. It was so lovely to really be able to rejoice and to thank God that we're here, alive, and being able to listen to his word. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Father, for you, our wonderful God, our Creator. Father, I pray that the words that I speak will be from you. Anything that comes out of my mouth that shouldn't, I pray that you will take it away before it reaches people's ears. Father, I want Holy Spirit to lead me into all truth. And I thank you in Jesus' name. For a title, it's Lies, Lies, and Even More Lies. The scriptures that Glenn read, I really liked because it was when Jesus was choosing his disciples. And it was quite interesting to realise that Nathanael was the first one that actually became a disciple. And many scholars believe that he was the only one of the 12 that came from royal blood or noble birth. His name means son of Talmah or Talma. In 2 Samuel 3, Chapter 3, verse 3, Talmah was king of Geshur, whose daughter, Maachah, was the wife of David and Absalom, mother of Absalom. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? That's quite interesting, because when we look at Nazareth, at the time of Jesus, it wasn't a very nice area. In fact, people from Jerusalem would look down on people that came from Nazareth. There was no culture there. In fact, it was like being out in the sticks, out in the country, or as we would say in America, hillbillies. A person that wrote about the time of Galilee of Jesus, it says, the province of Galilee is spoken of as having been, at that period, one of the most obscure and despised of the Roman Empire. And Nazareth has the misfortune of being represented at that time an insignificant village whose inhabitants were ignorant and even immoral. And I think it's a place where you wouldn't like to park your chariot overnight for fear of in the morning it will be up on bricks and the wheels would be gone. You know? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, I was born, I've got to be careful of this thing, I was born in December 1940. And like many of us older people who have lived through many changes. I was born on the outskirts of London, East London. Not quite a Cockney, although my father was a Cockney, but I was born in Essex. So I'm an Essex boy, a wheeler dealer, you know what I mean, type of thing. I struggled at school. And looking back, I realised I should have done better. Obviously, my teachers used to write on my reports, Jeff could do better. But sadly, I was never encouraged at home by my father. He never sort of told me that I should work hard at school. Maybe it was because he was on night work and I didn't really see him a lot. But I always had this self-doubt that I couldn't achieve very much. Until a beautiful lady came into my life. Margaret, and this is, we're talking 60 odd years ago, when we first met, she used to say to me, never believe the lie. Never believe the lie. And the lie is that Satan wants us to feel failures. He doesn't want us to achieve. And you know, sometimes if I have lost a job when I was working, been made redundant, I've come home, and we have straight away played praise and worship music. Because we wanted to get rid of any doubt that Satan was trying to put into our minds. And I would encourage anybody that is feeling doubt. I remember Audrey a couple of weeks came out and she was feeling a bit low because of things. And this is when we need to put praise and praise worship on, because God wants us to feel good. Satan wants us to feel negative. If I had been living in the time of Yeshua, I believe that many from other areas would have said, can anything good come out of Essex? Because people used to look down on people. You know, I know there's a couple of Essex people here, a few people from Essex, but you know, they would say about the young girls from Essex with the stiletto heels and all the different things. But you know, I loved Essex, and I still do. But I had that feeling, would anything good come out of Essex? But I'm thankful. You know, I'm thankful that God doesn't look for perfection. He wants us to be how we are so that then he can start working on us. Now, as a generation, an older generation, we lived through World War II, rationing, no television until much later, and I added no phone or mobile phone. And then we went through the 60s. Oh, first of all, we went through the Cold War, the Korean War, the Suez Crisis, the Vietnam War, and that's to name a few. And then we went through the 60s. Well, Margaret and myself, we started to belong to a church in the 60s. So really, we missed what they call the 60s. But we missed the hippies, and we missed Ban the Bomb. You know, all of those things were supposed to bring peace. But guess what? It never happened. Today, we have two words for the media. Fake news and false flags. Now, both are lies. Both are lies that the media is telling, and the false flag is also lies. And I know many disagree, but I believe we're being led up the garden path. Let's look at fake news. Fake news given to the media by President, the fake news name was given to the media by President Trump. And many So many people, sadly, believe all they hear that comes from whether it's BBC, CNN, Sky, and a host of others. It is lies. It is the hidden agenda behind these news people is for the government to take over control. And I know people will say, oh, that's extreme or whatever. But the agenda is for the governments to take over control of the masses. Let's take a look at false flags. False flags have been around for 1,000 years or more. A false flag is a covert or undercover operation to deceive. Oh, that's a word out of Satan's book. Deceive, to lie. They do it in such a way that it makes it look as if someone else is to take the blame for what they're doing. I'll explain. This is an example. On the 31st of August in 1939, several covert Nazi soldiers dressed as Polish soldiers stormed the Glitzwitz radio station on the German-Polish border. They broadcasted a short anti-German message in Polish. The soldiers left behind the bodies of a pro-Polish farmer and several Dachau prisoners. A farmer and the prisoners had all been murdered and then dressed in German uniforms. The attack was part of a series of undercover actions along the Polish border so that the Nazis would use this to justify Germany's attack on Poland. And the next day, they went into Poland. And I think that is where there wasn't even a bullet fired. We today are living at a time of lies and false flags. Let's go to the Bible to see where it all began. So in Genesis 3, verse 1, and it's 1 down to 3. Now the serpent was more tricky than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, really? Has God said you will not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you will not eat, neither will you touch it. Lest you die. Now let's take a look at what God actually said. In Genesis 2 verse 15, God is talking to Adam, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden, but you will not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. For in the day that you eat it, you will surely die. Now, if you look in the Hebrew, surely means you will die. But if you, again, look in the Hebrew, what lest you die means, it means possibly die. So seeing this, Satan could see that perhaps either Eve didn't understand what God had said, or she was twisting it. Now, this is a bold statement because in Genesis 3 and verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." And this was a bold lie. Yet it worked, and it's been working ever since for all of mankind since the fall. Friends, this is not a game. It's easy to feel comfortable in the West. You know, as Christians in the West, we don't really have much persecution. We can carry on with our jobs. Maybe you might be persecuted if you wear a cross round your neck, things like that. But you know, in China, it's quite different. To be a Christian in China, it says the region is also experiencing strangling free speech restrictions, making reporting of the crackdown difficult for domestic and foreign journalists. Christian members of a minority group who converted from Islam have been caught up in mass detainment. And according to persecution watchdog Open Doors, they said that more than 100 Christians had been seized over the last few months, with many kept in facilities indefinitely. One local church leader told Open Doors, "Some stay for a month, others for half a year or even longer. Family members of those are locked up have expressed their concerns of the fate of their loved ones in the mysterious centres. And one said, "I don't know where my husband is right now, but I believe that God still uses him in the prison camps. Sometimes I am worried that he doesn't have enough clothes to keep him warm in prison." One Christian resident who avoided detection said, "Even your smartphone is checked. I feel like I'm in a big prison." Many Christians have stopped going to registered churches and instead meet in smaller secret groups. These people know what they're going through. They know what persecution is. But you know, if you're being persecuted like that, if you're having your Bibles taken away from you, if you're told you can't attend church, if you're taken to prisons or whatever, this will bring you on your knees and closer to God. And this is the trouble, as Andy was saying earlier, sometimes, you know, we can be so busy and we can forget perhaps to do the things that we should. Many people will go to church on a Sunday. They might not even open their Bible. And the rest of the week, they're just living their lives. And you know, sadly, when those Chinese people are in the rapture, I don't want to be one of these that says, "I wish I was going with you." Because I want to be on my knees now so that I will be going with them in the rapture. You know, we're living in times where, well, people will know, older people will know, there's a song called "Anything Goes." Now, the song was written in the 30s and it says, "In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was something shocking. But now, God knows, anything goes." Good authors who once knew better words now only use four-letter words. Anything goes. The world has gone mad today. And good is bad today. And black is white today. Because anything goes. That song was written in the 30s. And I think even they would be shocked now at where we are today. I remember being in a church in the 60s. And they said, and in the 60s, you didn't see very much crudeness on television. But I remember the minister saying and preaching that soon, you will actually see the sex act on television. And you know, if you find the channels, you can. This is how much we've deteriorated. And people think, oh, I know if I talk to my sisters or like that, they say, oh, but this is how things are today. But things shouldn't be like that today. Because I don't want to have anything like that today. And you know, if we feel comfortable in the world, we need to evaluate ourselves and to really look into our Bible. Because if we love the world, God will leave us in the world. I want to come out of that world. I know we've got to be here, but I want to live God's way, not man's way. Lies, lies, and more lies. You know, to deceive is to know the truth, but choose to tell people otherwise. Many people are not happy and feel there is something behind what we are being told. Lockdown has put untold fear into ordinary people worried about catching the virus. You know, fear is one of the most powerful human emotions. Fear can be used as a tool to manipulate others in the hands of those in positions of power. Past and present have effectively used fear to control certain aspects of society, bringing in new laws which people in a state of fear don't even question, and they accept readily without turning a blind eye. Oh yeah, the government's going to do this. From now on you can't do this. You've got to do this. And if we look at how the government has handled things, I feel like it's been like a headless chicken. And somebody said to me that was insulting a chicken. But you know, if we look back the 4 or 5 months, it has been just ridiculous how people have not known what to do. They don't really know what the rules are because the government keep changing things to suit themselves. And I think to hide what is really behind what they're doing. You know, for those who do not think fear and control is behind what is going on today, you know, sadly, many Jews felt the same in the 30s in Germany when Hitler took over. We need to learn a lesson from history. This is a memo, internal memo from Bill Gates. Funding a vaccine is not the goal. Reorganising society is the goal. Pandemic and climate change share a similar connection. Both are useful for mass control. Both through fear, can bypass democracy and force powerless nations to obey their command, and in other words, take control. You know, fear is a terrible thing. Fear used rightly, if we fear, and it can make us strong, I know, and the adrenaline goes. But fear, when it crushes people, and this I feel is how people are now, today, people feel crushed. And it's dividing people. It's dividing society because many think, oh, we've got to do this. And others think, you know, what is really happening behind closed doors? You know, we had the story of Cummings going all the way up north that time, breaking the restrictions. And he said he'd gone 30 miles, he'd driven his car to test his eyesight, which I think is a little bit silly. In actual fact, it was found out later that he went up there to sign an agreement. An agreement with a pharmacy company because he's got shares in it and the government was working something out. It's the same as the, I think his name's Whitty, the government's scientist. He also has shares in the big pharma. And it's sad that it's all money. So how's it going to end? I don't know. People are saying we're going to carry on after Christmas. Even on to into next year. It's just going to carry on. In Psalm 34, verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. If we seek his presence and his will, God will give us courage for whatever we face in life. And I just want to read from Jeremiah. And it's Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus says the Lord, the man is cursed who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. For he will be like the juniper in the desert and will not see when God comes, when good comes, but will inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, a salt land and not inhabited. The man is blessed who trusts in the Lord and whose security is in the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river and will not see the heat when it comes. But its leaf will be green and will not be careful in the year of drought. Neither will it cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can know it? My answer today is we need to get back to God. We need to get back to really relying and trusting in God and not in man. Because, like I said, if we look at the 10 virgins, 5 were okay. The other 5 were not. And there's so many people out there today that are just saying they're Christian, but they're not really Christian. They're Christian by name, maybe. But when things get tough, will they really say they're Christian? Or will they deny being Christians? So I pray that God will bless us all. Give us wisdom in everything. And my prayer is that we all draw closer and closer to God, because He is the only way. There's no other way. There's no other way but through Jesus. You know, it's, as I said at the beginning, it's a wonderful time to live in. And I know it's scary for some, but as a born believer, born again believer, we should be so full of joy, because we know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And remember what I said about the lie. Satan wants us to doubt. God wants us to know the truth. Amen.
Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing to close. Thank you, Jeff.